You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday. It's time to check in with our friends over at 1517 The Legacy Project. Joining us by phone today, Ted Rosenblatt with 1517 The Legacy. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Tell us about your work with 1517 The Legacy Project.
Well, the whole project was founded on the work of my father, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, who has worked for over 30 years at Concordia University in Irvine, teaching apologetics in their theology department. And what we have built here is an engine to help bring the gospel back to broken churches and a broken world. And what you will discover at 1517legacy.com is an increasing number of voices and projects which we are involved in, and you're going to find a really solid set of materials, a growing set of products and books that we are publishing and producing with the help and support of our authors.
Neat. So tell me a little bit about your background and how did you get involved in 1517? What were you doing before you got involved with 1517?
It's an interesting question. 1517 really started on based on the work that I was doing with a friend, Pat Kyle, back in the day on a project called New Reformation Press. And it was a small company that we put together with the ideas that became what we now have with 1517, in part with the help of many others. And it was something that we were trying to do to get our Lutheran voices out and represent Lutheranism in a positive and winsome way and bring our ideas into the discussion that we didn't feel were being spoken of pretty much anywhere where it was being paid attention to. And it was a small effort, but it's funny how that was a sort of seed planted that has grown into this greater project of 1517, the Legacy Project. This thing has grown far greater than I ever anticipated with the interest and support of others who saw the opportunity there with what we had originally started. And now with what we have begun to build, the energy is increasing so rapidly, it's hard to hold on. It feels like a team of horses that's almost out of your grasp now. I'm working just to keep up because the energy, the positive energy that's going on with everybody who gets on board rises so quickly. But it couldn't have been done without that original effort to be able to start reaching out. And I'm so pleased that so many people have helped create this new project that we can do this in a far more efficient way.
In a world with, that's so connected technically with social media and blogs and websites and every other form of communication under the sun, and many of those being used for religious purposes or Christian media, what's significant, what's unique about being a Lutheran in this world of blogging and social media and press and, written material as well?
Yeah, it's evolving very rapidly. One of the things we were studying as we were getting started here is even as we were beginning to put the pieces together for 1517, the publishing industry has been going through massive changes, and it continues to do so. Technology is information is so readily available now in ways that we could never have seen coming. And what we are trying to develop is a platform that is easily changeable, easily adaptable, and lets us take advantage of any new developments and technologies that come across. Right now, we're able to digest information on so many different types of devices. It's almost becoming ubiquitous. I mean, from my iPhone to the types of devices that project, information from your computer onto your TV. You can listen to anything, you can view anything, you can read anything on pretty much any electronic platform. And one of the things we're doing is working with those new technologies and changes so that the information that we produce is not limited by any changes that come across. So we expect people to be able to listen to the messages we produce in audio as they're driving, because, of course, you can't watch something while you're driving. But we also want them to be able to read things on their phone easily. We want them to be able to get books, printed books in their hands. We're working towards video, and we've already gone into production on a radio program out here in LA as well. So which is to help bring the gospel to the masses. What we've done is build a platform that is deeply embedded in the newest technology, but is, like I said, completely adaptable.
What does it mean to be Lutheran and doing this? You know, there are so many quote unquote Christian media. They're Christians in or evangelical Americans who are using blogs and social media and video, YouTube and just a number of things to get their message out. What does it mean to be Lutheran in that using those platforms?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. The noise is growing. There's a lot of good stuff, and people have to filter out the things that they feel have any value to them. We believe that the Lutheran message that we bring is unique. It is one that is extremely hopeful. It is simple. It is Christ-centered. It is not me-centered. It is focused on the things he has done for us. And it is not focused on my daily behavior. It is a message of freedom. It is a message not one that is focused ultimately in one that will, if you go down the long road, that will cause despair, because it is not focused properly on Christ and his saving works. It is something that we've seen, we believe, is sorely lacking in the American church at large, the church at large, even to the degree that we shake our heads when we see other nations now beginning to do work sending their people to bring the gospel to America. We believe that America is in deep need of rediscovering this gospel. And so what we're doing is using this technology. We're kind of treating it as the new Gutenberg printing press, which had been invented just prior to the beginning of the first Reformation in the 16th century. We are treating this new technology in a similar fashion, saying we believe we can return to that Reformation in a similar fashion and help again rediscover this amazing gospel that we believe is most clearly explicated in the Lutheran doctrines.
How is today's use of media like and different from that from the Gutenberg press?
Boy, I'll tell you. You know what the number one is? Speed.
Mm-hmm.
We can get messages out there in almost any format so rapidly. And as a matter of fact, in a certain sense, if you don't have speed in this culture with this technology, that messages tend to fall flat. It's funny how you know, the term that we've come to use is something going viral. It's become a critical element of how things work, because this is how people get messages to one another. And the technologies that are out there, such as Facebook and so forth, they allow people to expose ideas to people that they don't even know through people that they do know. And it's amazing how ideas can catch fire that way. And so we're always paying attention to what ideas are penetrating, different audiences, and how those things are being received, whether positively or negatively. But that is, it's funny, because let me go back for a moment, back to the Gutenberg press. I think one of the things that it offered in its day was speed. Mm-hmm. In a certain sense, it was that it could produce mass quantities of materials very cheaply. So they could run off oodles of pamphlets that they could then make sure were distributed for the masses, because many of the masses couldn't even read. So you'd have people reading these things to them who could read. This wasn't that relatively rapid distribution of information helped people then begin to understand something about God, about his son, about that sacrifice in a way they were not going to be hearing from the church. So that was the beginning of that idea, and now we're taking it to the next level with this technology.
I guess you didn't have to charge or plug in the Gutenberg press, though.
Yeah, that's right. You know, now we got to have some power. Back then, you could run it with a man and a crank.
But you had to feed that man.
That's true. That's true.
Now, you know, our biggest sometimes our biggest personal crisis in a day is if our phone goes dead or our iPad goes dead. You know, we don't have it charged up enough, and my battery's low.
Oh yeah, and you can see it in the kids too. My children will absolutely melt down if something gets shut off or taken away or whatever the case is.
Yeah. Setting time limits on screen time. Yeah.
Yes.
No one would have ever guessed, you know, 20, 30 years ago that would be the one of the key things to parenting today, setting screen time.
Yeah, and there are so many of them. Oh, my goodness. You know, the screens are ubiquitous. You know, I went over to the library over here with my children, and they have a screen up that displays some information, but they specifically have to say on there, do not touch, because we're now used to screens being touchable.
Right.
This is changing rapidly too. I even have to stop myself after using an iPad for a while from then, you know, going to my laptop and not touching the screen. It's just an automatic.
I do that occasionally too. I get used to using a tablet and then I go to my laptop and try to, instead of using the mouse, try to touch the screen, and I realize that it doesn't work that way. My 2-year-old son thinks everything is a touch screen too, so he goes to the TV thinking that he can just touch things on the screen on the TV to get them.
Exactly. I mean, it's even now in the soda stands that they have in the restaurants. Now the kids are used to touching the screen that gives, you know, chooses the soda selection for them. So it's the information is and the technology is just, it's so rapidly expanding everywhere, and we're thrilled to be able to take advantage of that. And what you're going to see is the voices of our authors. Steve Burns, who oversees our publishing division, he makes sure that I understand that we aren't, you know, he says we aren't truly primarily a publisher. We are truly primarily a speakers bureau supported by publishing. And what we're really working towards is getting the voices of our authors into the marketplace behind microphones, in front of, you know, cameras and so forth, and get these ideas out personally, not just in writing, but let them engage with audiences directly. So it's one of the very important functions of what we offer.
Well, very good. Well, 1517legacy.com is the website. You can see all the newest writing there, the blogs at 1517legacy.com. Ted, thanks for being our guest today on His Time. Great to have a chat with you today.
Thanks so much, Andy. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too.